The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The Gospel is Still Under Siege, a brand new book by Bob Wilkin. We'll begin talking about it today, and we'll have a short series about it. What do we mean by the Gospel is under siege? Well, stay tuned. Over the next few minutes, we will begin to talk about that here on Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us today, friend. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We live in North Texas. That's where our offices are. And you can know more about us at our website, faithalone.org. Plenty of resources there for you, some free and some have a cost. And we also have a subscription-free magazine that you can look into. Its name is also Grace in Focus. Now let's begin our discussion on The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
This is Mike Lee, and today I will be hosting and I'll be interviewing Bob Wilkin about his recent book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Grace in Focus.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, your book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, is a sequel. So let's talk today about the first book, which is Zane Hodges' original, The Gospel is Under Siege, which he published back in 1981. So what can you tell me about the publishing history of The Gospel Under Siege?
Thanks, Mike. I was at Dallas Seminary when this book came out. My master's work was between 1978 and 1982. And so this book came out in 81, was first published in 1981. Later, there was a second edition published, and now Grace Evangelical Society carries it in our catalog. And this was a groundbreaking book. It really kind of put Zane Hodges on the map as far as this particular issue. And he basically covers all of the issues of what we now call focused free grace. And he deals with attacks against the gospel. Now, by gospel, he doesn't mean 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. He's not saying people who are attacking the death and resurrection of Jesus. By gospel, he means the message found in Galatians, justification by faith alone apart from works. And he's using the term gospel as a kind of a synonym for the saving message.
And why did Zane think the gospel was under attack back in 1981?
Well, it's funny because I took my first class from him in 1980, the book of Hebrews, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and it was controversial when I took him. I realized he was different than most of the faculty at Dallas Seminary. In fact, I had other faculty members who were criticizing Zane Hodges in class for his views, and ultimately that stopped because I think Zane Hodges complained to the administration that that's not really appropriate in the seminary to call out a person by name, a fellow faculty member. It's one thing to discuss the theology. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to say, no, I don't agree with Prof. Hodges or whatever. So his views were different than a lot of the faculty. I would say when I graduated in 1982, probably half of the faculty were soft lordship salvation, held to soft lordship salvation, and maybe half would have been in basic agreement with Zane Hodges. Within another 3 or 4 years, like I got my doctorate in 1985, by then I would say things had shifted to the point where it was at least three-quarters soft lordship salvation and at most one-quarter that would have been in agreement with Hodges.
So you were on campus at the time when Zane published this book and he was still teaching. And so you're saying that he actually wasn't, it was almost like a split among the faculty towards this book?
Yeah, pretty much. In fact, a funny fact here, Mike, is there was a debate that was held between Zane Hodges and the former head of the New Testament department and his distinguished former faculty member, Dr. S. Lewis Johnson.
Oh, didn't he actually hire Zane to be on staff at Dallas Seminary?
He did. He hired Zane, and he thought that Zane was very gifted, and actually Zane was the head of the New Testament department for a short while, but Zane didn't really like all of the added responsibilities because Zane really wanted to do pastoral ministry in local church at Victor Street Bible Chapel. He felt that the time spent being the department chairman took up too much of his time. But those two debated. Now, they weren't...
Oh, so he actually, even though he hired Zane, he didn't agree with Zane's views in the Gospel Under Siege?
Well, that's a good question. Now, S.O.S. Johnson left, I believe, 2 years before I got there. He left in 76, and I arrived in 78, which I regret because he was phenomenal. But my understanding from people who had him was that he shifted over his many years at Dallas Seminary. So at the beginning, I think he would have been in basic agreement with Zane Hodges. And then the more Calvinistic he became, the more he shifted. And the reason he resigned from his teaching position was because he became a five-point Calvinist.
Oh, okay.
And once he embraced limited atonement, or what Calvinists call particular redemption, he felt in good conscience that he couldn't stay. And the funny thing is, my understanding is that Dr. Walvoord, who was the president at the time, encouraged him to stay and said he would make an exception for him.
Hmm.
But S.O.S. Johnson didn't feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
And he was pastoring a church in the Metroplex at the time, and he was actually hired, I believe, by Grace Theological Seminary to teach there, and he would fly to Grace Theological Seminary and teach.
The Grace Evangelical Society Seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. You can come study with us, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply, and if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
But anyway, they had a debate, and I heard both halves of the debate, and it was rather funny because they would, well, like S.O.S. Johnson counted the number of exclamation points that Zane made in the first edition and kind of jokingly criticized him for that. And he used some boxing metaphors. He said, I think I may have knocked him down, but I think, you know, he may bruise me when he responds. And I was there in person when Zane responded, and I think he did a good job responding.
Yeah, I think I remember, I listened to that debate, but I remember the takeaways I got was, you know, Johnson really based his views on the number of commentaries and his view of what church history has taught, where Zane kept pushing back that his views are based on scripture.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Later, John MacArthur wrote The Gospel According to Jesus, which was somewhat a response to The Gospel Under Siege. And Hodges responded with a book called Absolutely Free. And S.O.S. Johnson wrote an article evaluating those two books. So here he was kind of as an arbiter. And what he said was fascinating. He said, I think we can all agree that the Westminster Confession of Faith is the standard of evangelical thought. So I'm going to evaluate The Gospel According to Jesus and Absolutely Free in light of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Well, that was kind of sad,
right,
to many of us, because we wanted S.O.S. Johnson to evaluate those books in light of Scripture. Because
mm-hmm.
the Westminster Confession of Faith is not the standard of evangelical thought. At least it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
The Bible should be this, right? The
right,
standard.
Right, right. I mean, we always go back to the Word to establish our beliefs.
Right. Right. So basically, what was happening at Dallas Seminary was more and more the faculty were being influenced by evangelical thought in general,
mm-hmm.
especially when the faculty went to Europe and got their doctorates from European schools, and they came back being influenced by what they were taught at those schools.
Yeah. And I guess maybe this was part of the impetus to write The Gospel Under Siege and to, you know, respond to some of these arguments and really try to point people back to Scripture.
Right. My feeling is that The Gospel Under Siege is one of Zane Hodges' greatest books. He wrote over a dozen books,
yeah.
and they're fantastic. I like all of his books, but this is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's mine too. It was probably the second one I ever read from Zane. And I remember he dealt with problem passage after problem passage and cleared up my understanding on many passages. And I think one of the most famous is James 2.
Right.
And what was would you say the prevailing free grace view of James 2 at that point in time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think at that time, most of the free grace people would have said something like the idea that there will be some work sometime, that perseverance is not guaranteed, but that some good works are guaranteed. And so if you claim to have faith, but you had no good works whatsoever, then your claim would be false. Something like that. There was the view that Zane Hodges advocated, and I think some would hold to it, that James was talking about being saved from judgment in this life. But I don't know that was the prevailing view. For example, I had Dr. Ryrie for soteriology, and Dr. Ryrie came up with this two-coupon ticket idea that you're saved by faith alone, but if works were not attached, you wouldn't make it. And he didn't believe you had to persevere. He would say you could die as a carnal believer. But he did say, I think his famous expression was somewhere, sometime, somehow, there had to be work. So I think that was a fairly common free grace understanding. And by the way, Dr. Ryrie considered himself free grace and considered Zane Hodges one of his good friends. They met for lunch for years and years.
But how about, I guess, fast forward 40-plus years later, what do you think is the prevailing view now of James 2?
Within free grace circles?
Within free grace circles.
Well, I think because of Zane's influence, and he wrote a booklet, too, on James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, and I think he pretty much won the day that most people in both focused and flexible free grace circles consider James 2, 14 to 26 to be talking about salvation from God's judgment in this life. In fact, they would see all five uses of sozo or salvation in James to refer to that.
Yeah, the gospel under siege really, I think, helped move the needle to help people, like, you can't just automatically assume every time you see the word save, it automatically means eternal salvation.
Right. That was pivotal. And I would encourage every one of you, if you haven't read this book, please read it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. We have that available at the GS website. Go to faithalone.org and you can order it. It was definitely pivotal in my life to clear up many problem passages that I'd always wondered about.
Lots and lots of people have told me that this is one of their favorite books with Zane Hodges. Of course, a lot of the articles we have on our website are drawn from this book. Many of our authors who write for us go back to this book from time to time. So if you have time, check it out. I highly recommend it.
And remember, keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. On the next episode, more of The Gospel Under Siege. Please join us again. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.